Hello, fellow Vikings fans. I'm Scotty Ball, and thanks as always for visiting us here on VikingsDigitalDiaries.com for another Wednesday edition of the War Room, here where we go over everything you need to know to give your fantasy football team the best chance to win here in Week 10 of the NFL football season. And I am joined, as always, by my co-host with the utmost, the one and only Miles Gorham. How you doing, Miles?
I'm good, Scotty. How's everything going with you?
Well, I'm hanging in there. It's all you can do, right?
Exactly.
All right. Well, so that the audience knows what we're doing tonight, Miles and I, we were talking before the show, as we do every week, and we decided we were going to switch up the format a little bit, try and make it a little more of a no-huddle, hurry-up offense type of show tonight than the 90-minute in-depth masterpieces that we've been doing here the past couple weeks. And yeah, if you can't tell, I wing all of this always. I don't write anything down. But anyway, so we're going to be changing the format. Hopefully you enjoy it. And as always, if you have any questions as a listener of the show, please send them to us, whether it be via Twitter. You can tweet Miles at MilesGorham85 on Twitter, or you can tweet me at BDST Show. You can comment on the links on Facebook and ask us questions that way. But if you have any questions that we leave unanswered, please feel free to reach out to us, and we'll do everything we can to give you our advice for whatever that's worth. Now, before we get
people can just tweet at the Vikings Digital Diaries Twitter account too, and we'll make sure we answer those questions too.
Absolutely. Whatever your preferred social media platform is, there's plenty of ways that we can make that work along with you. But before we get to the players that we like and don't like and what we're going to be talking about on this week's show, first we got to go over our weekly most important matter of business, and that is the results from the previous week's head-to-head matchup between myself and Miles. Going into last week, we were as deadlocked as it could be. Two wins apiece and a tie for what we had been keeping track of this year. And Miles fielded his team of Matt Ryan at quarterback. I'm pretty sure it was Terrence West from the Ravens at running back. I just wrote down West,
correct.
I hope. Then looking back, I was like, I should have been more specific with that. Had Dazzling Dez Bryant at wide receiver and Greg Olsen at tight end, going up against my team of big names for the most part. I generally don't take that route, but I had Andrew Luck as my quarterback, Ezekiel Elliott, or Eazy-E as I like to call him, as my running back, Julio Jones as my wide receiver, and my no-show at tight end, Hunter Henry, whose injury ended up being more serious than we were aware of at the time of recording the show last week. So I started off with a zero from my tight end position. And your tight end, Greg Olsen, had 11 points, so nice lead for you. Your quarterback, Matt Ryan, blew up. Huge week, last couple weeks, 27 points. Andrew Luck, fairly mediocre against the Packers with 12 points. But Ezekiel Elliott had 21 for me against the Browns.
Yep.
Julio Jones, you know, obviously with Matt Ryan, big numbers, you expect Julio to have some, and he had 17. And you, between Terrence West and Dez Bryant, you had a combined total of 3 points. So that's what made the difference. I have taken the lead here for 1 week, likely at least, by a victory score of 50-41. My condolences to you. Do you accept the results and concede the victory to me? Sorry, just trying to make a really bad timely
point. I'm looking at my roster and no worries. I totally get it. You beat me fair and square.
No, and honestly, I was with your lineup, the one thing that surprised me was the Terrence West performance. He has just been so unpredictable this year. He'll have a couple really solid weeks where you think, okay, this guy's locked in to being the number one back on his team and someone I can at least rely on for some sort of production, fantasy-wise. And then he'll drop a deuce, you know, like this one. 2 points is what he got, actually, hence the drop the deuce reference. You know, so it just... Where are we at with Terrence West? Let's start there.
I mean, I think he's starting to get supplanted a little bit by the rookie, Kenneth Dixon. I just think they're really liking what Kenneth Dixon brings to the table, and they're finally giving him the opportunity. I think the share was pretty similar this week, or this past week. I think it was like Terrence West was up in the like mid-teens, and I think Kenneth Dixon was like 12 or 13. So
I've got.
So
Terrence
yeah, they're trying to get him more involved.
Yeah, I've got. You know, he's one of those guys I had to change. Like I said, for a while, I had him there on, you know, one of my value running backs here for a good couple weeks. And now he's in my list of names of, you know, be careful with, watch out for, and consider your other options. Since we're on the running backs, who are some of your other running backs that maybe have fallen into that, you know, down category in addition to him?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say. It's hard to talk negatively about the Vikings, you know, just because, you know, we're pretty big homers here in Minnesota. But
absolutely.
I mean, Jerick McKinnon, the combination of Jerick McKinnon and Matt Asiata, I think at one point earlier in the season there was, you know, a good time share and a good opportunity between two guys to score points. You know, Asiata more in the standard, but with some PPR opportunity, and then McKinnon mainly in the PPR with, you know, the receptions out of the backfield. But, you know, with McKinnon being banged up and Asiata just not being as effective as he was a few weeks ago, it's just not really looking as well for those guys. But, you know, getting out of the Vikings shell of things, I think, you know, Spencer Ware, not really through a fault of his own, but more through injury. He just hasn't looked like himself the last couple of weeks, but I think, you know, if he can get back on track this week, especially knowing that Jamaal Charles isn't going to be back, I think he's kind of teetered, but if he can get back on track to being healthy, he's still a really good option for them and for fantasy. And then for me, lastly, right now, another guy, well, I'll give two more names. You got the Vikings matchup this week with Matt Jones, who he was out before their bye, and now he's expected to be back healthy, but they're saying that he's got to earn his opportunity back.
He did
Robert
have some
Kelly,
fumbling
who,
issues
who
going into that bye,
yeah.
Correct? Okay.
Yeah, yes, that's a great point. I think he was potentially leading the league in fumbles. I'd have to double check the stats, but I think he might have been leading the league in fumbles.
Okay.
And then lastly, the last guy I have right now is Ryan Matthews for the Eagles. I mean, going into the season, he was expected to be, you know, the starter with, you know, with no one to really to challenge him. You know, you had some guys like Wendell Smallwood, and you have Darren Sproles now, who's the guy getting the majority of the snaps. But I don't think we expected it to become this bad. But
sure.
I think, you know, like with Matt Jones, there's some fumbling issues with Ryan Matthews that has happened. And he just hasn't looked as efficient as you thought he'd be. I mean, the only thing that Ryan Matthews has done the last 2 weeks to, like, kind of make things okay in fantasy is he scored touchdowns. But other than that, I don't think he's got more than 12 combined carries the last 2 weeks. So kind of a scary situation there. He's starting to become one of those, you know, if this continues, in the he might have to be a cut casualty on your roster just because you can't continue to rely on him if it keeps going this route.
Absolutely. I think we'll probably sprinkle in our Vikings analysis throughout going through the positions. I think we'll probably keep a position and work the Vikings talk in there. Most of what we've been discussing with the running backs disappointing us up until this point was on a season basis, on a big picture scale. I've got quite a few big names at running back position for matchups this week that I'm not saying, you know, I'm not going full-on bench Ezekiel Elliott mode like I did a couple weeks ago, you know, but I am saying taper expectations. The matchups are not the best this
mm-hmm.
week. And those most notable names that I wrote down for that would be Todd Gurley on the road against a very good run defense in the New York Jets, as well as DeMarco Murray at home against the number one run defense, Green Bay Packers. Jay Ajayi against a very underrated Chargers defense on the road from coast to coast. And in what I expect a game where they're going to have to score a bunch of points and maybe the play calling won't allow for as many rushing attempts as they've been doing lately. And then Kroll with a fairly bad matchup against a fairly tough Ravens defense. Forte, you know, going up against that Rams defense in return with Gurley. And then Booker, who Devontae Booker in Denver, who since getting, you know, that lead role all to himself, just really has not produced anything from a fantasy standpoint. Are there any names you think I missed or any you'd like to disagree with or comment on a little bit?
I think with Devontae Booker, I mean, he's playing the Saints, so that's kind of a nice opportunity for teams right now.
Agreed.
Who are looking, you know, so I think you might be able to see him bounce back. I do know his backup right now, Capri Bibbs, he's a guy to keep an eye on. If you're in need of a running back, I just think against that really bad Saints defense in New Orleans too, that, you know, this could be a high-scoring game, and I think both guys will be involved. So they're both, for me, Booker will be a top, you know, 12, 13 back this week for sure, and then Bibbs would probably be in my top 25 just because I think we're going to start seeing him get a little more opportunities like he did last week.
Okay. So then, on the other side of the coin, looking at this week's matchups, what running backs are you feeling really confident about?
Well, for me right now, I think Melvin Gordon. I mean, that guy's just been he's been ridiculous, and it's not even fair right now how much of a difference there is for him between last year and this year. And if you could go from rookie to sophomore, if you know, if we could vote him like, and you know, like comeback player of the year or something. I obviously there's no, that doesn't happen from rookie to sophomore year, but like, wow, the difference between them right now is just ridiculous. I mean, it's crazy.
Yep. And kudos to, I mean, at least I'm speaking for myself, kudos to what I've always underrated as the Chargers offensive line. What they're doing, you know, what Gordon's doing in their running game can't be done by himself. You need quality production from that offensive line to make those holes and allow him to use his vision and, you know, set up his blocks and juke and all that stuff. So just a rare, especially from Minnesota, you know, shout out to the San Diego Chargers offensive line so far this season.
Well,
greatly, I mean, underrated.
Especially in, right, well, especially since, you know, how they've been. They've been pretty bad the last few years, not including this year, so.
Yep.
Good to see them get back on track, too.
Absolutely.
Like to see the Vikings offensive line do that now.
Well, any other names at running back you like in addition to the juggernaut that has become Melvin Gordon? I think David Johnson, people have kind of forgotten about just a little bit,
which is weird. He's got the best matchup in football right now with the 49ers, who literally just cannot stop the run.
Nope.
It doesn't matter who you... You know, I would even consider picking up Andre Ellington this week, too, just because if they're going to run the ball that much, I think Andre Ellington's going to get an opportunity, too, and they're both just going to be able to feast against that 49ers team.
Absolutely. I want to say I saw a stat that the Niners' rush defense has allowed, like, 700 or 800 or 900-yard rushing games in a row, just some ridiculously high number.
I do think, though, I was wrong last week, but I do think a guy – the kind of combo share of for the Baltimore Ravens this week, Terrence West and Kenneth Dixon against that Cleveland defense too. I think that's a pretty good matchup that you can rely on either one of those players this week.
I agree. I think one of those two will be a very nice sleeper play for some fantasy owners. I also like Ezekiel Elliott's matchup this week and Le'Veon Bell. That'll be a fun game to watch with the two of them on opposite sides of each other. There's always going to be fantasy points to cheer for in that game. And the one name I think that I really wanted to mention that I had forgotten up until this point is in Chicago, Jordan Howard. I mean, that kid has had a phenomenal rookie season so far, and he's got a really good matchup this week in my opinion as well. Do you expect him to keep rolling the way he has been lately?
I do, and I think a lot of people had dropped him before their bye week, you know, or right before they played the Vikings, and then they went into the bye week this past week. So I think, you know, most people, unless you have the roster spot to pick him up during his bye week, today, you know, this week might be the week. he might still be available, and if you can go get him, because he's proven right now that he's the lead back in that team and the best opportunity they have to run the ball. I mean, Jeremy Langford's finally getting healthy, but I just think it'd be hard for Chicago right now to get away from Howard and how effective he's been, like you said. So definitely, I do like that matchup a lot this week, so keep an eye on that.
Yeah, completely agree. I mean, I think he's very comfortably in the top 10 fantasy running backs right now, and arguably on that outside part of the top five, you know, behind your Bells and your Ezekiel Elliotts and your Melvin Gordons and David Johnson. So yeah, right around five, he might be the fifth best fantasy running back in football right now. And for me, no reason to believe that's not going to continue at least for one more week until they have a tougher matchup. Let's move on from running backs to, you know, the universally acknowledged most important position on a football team, but seldomly, but sometimes, but more often than not the most important position on a fantasy football team, the quarterback position. We've had Matt Ryan just on an absolute tear for the last several weeks, it seems like, with, you know, only a rare down-to-earth game sprinkled in here and there. My gut is telling me that this upcoming week on the road against a Philadelphia defense that, for the most part, has been one of the tops in the league this year, although somewhat unpredictable. I actually have him in as one of my taper your expectation big names for the quarterbacks this week. What are your thoughts on that Matt Ryan matchup?
Well, it's just so hard to predict right now because he went into Denver and Seattle and had no issues there. I mean, he didn't do as well, obviously, in Seattle. Well, actually, he did. So, I mean, I don't think he did quite as well in Denver, but he still put up quality fantasy numbers, especially for what you probably would have thought against that defense. So it's really hard to – right now, Matt Ryan, you know, he's got 23 passing touchdowns, which, at, you know, through – I think they've played nine – have they played eight or nine games they're through? I'm not 100% sure where they're at yet. But either way, that's a lot of passing touchdowns, and he's just proven to be matchup-proof right now. And it'd be really hard not to start him against Philadelphia with what he's done on the road against teams like Denver and Seattle.
Completely agree, but it would not shock me if it's a more reasonable statistical game, like a 250 to 310 yards, 2 to 3 touchdowns, and not the 350 plus for, you know, 4 or 5 that he's been doing on more than one occasion this year.
Oh, no, definitely. Good point.
But no, I completely agreed. Those were great points that you brought up, that he's done it, though, this year on the road against other top-notch defenses. And Philadelphia just seems to be a total coin toss of which Philadelphia team is going to come out each week. I do like them a little more this week than usual.
Them at home is a lot. They're a lot better at home than they are on the road.
Yep. A lot like the Saints that we've talked about before. The other couple of big names I've got just for taper expectations, not bench, would be Russell Wilson on the road against the New England Patriots. Something tells me, you know, and then with the health issues he's had the last couple weeks too, just, you know, be realistic about it. Aaron Rodgers on the road against an underrated and very well-rounded and good Tennessee Titans defense. And then Kirk Cousins, even though he's at home, going against the Vikings defense. Vikings getting a little healthier on that side of the ball, and I still believe that they are one of the five best defenses overall in the league, despite the recent couple losses. Anybody I miss? Anybody I got wrong?
No, I think those are all really good guys. I'm really thinking – I do like Carson Palmer this week as well. I think he's finally starting to get healthy. And I think, you know, again, with the San Francisco matchup, that's just kind of matchup-proof against defenses right now. You kind of expect the quarterback and running backs to go off against those players or those defenses. And then temper expectations, like you had said, I kind of think we could temper expectations for a guy like Dak Prescott this week against in Pittsburgh. getting a little different on the road. I know he's played really well on both ends, you know, home and away, but I think Pittsburgh definitely is a better team on the road, at home than on the road. You know, we've seen Ben, yep. Big Ben splits against, you know, home and away. So I kind of would temper the expectations for Dak this week as well. Other than that, maybe Kansas City with Cam Newton potentially temper those a bit, but I'm not. Mm-hmm. I think Cam's going to start getting hot again too, just because I think he's getting healthy and you're just seeing him let loose, just because they're trying to play themselves back into it a little bit.
Yep, and the Panthers have the home field advantage in that game as well. One name that I just noticed that I think I might have missed is Jameis Winston hosting the Chicago Bears. Granted, it is in Tampa Bay, but that Chicago Bears defense has been pretty respectable so far this year. And with just, it seems like everybody on that Buccaneers offensive side of the ball is hurt or is getting hurt, you know, at some point in time this season. So I just, that's maybe one more better known name that I just now realized that I missed. And I do agree with you on Dak Prescott, but I also can see a possibility with how many points the Steelers can score on offense, that if they start rolling and putting up a bunch of points on the board, Dak's number is going to be getting called more often when it comes to the play calling. Now, whether that results in yards and touchdowns totally remains to be seen. But there is at least that possibility that the Steelers can force the Cowboys away from that powerful run game a little bit by being their super high-powered offense, and thus forcing Dak to, you know, throw more attempts and try to make more happen on his own. But I agree definitely. With you 100%. I would definitely, you know, not be overly excited about it. But I wouldn't be worried about it either. How about the good quarterback matchups this week? Who do you think's going to put up some really strong numbers? It seems like so far this year, at least two or three quarterbacks that aren't even owned in half of fantasy leagues put up top points or are one of the top scorers at the quarterback position. Who do you think's going to score well this week?
Yeah, so I'll start off with one of my QB streams of the week. I really like Trevor Siemian this week against this in New Orleans. They've really been prone, at least it seems, you know, on paper at least, you know, I do a little bit of my research that they seem to throw the ball more on the road than they do at home. Denver does, at least. So I think this could be a little bit more of a shootout than most people expect it to be against that Denver defense. But you kind of saw that that Raiders offensive line pushed them around a bit, which is, you know, yep. You haven't really seen that, at least the last, you know, year and a half against that defense, but they held up really well on the Raiders offensive line. I know they're one of the best in the league, but they kind of might have shown some flaws. And again, like we've talked about week after week with the Saints, that them at home compared to on the road is like night and day. And I think they're going to have a good game. I think, you know, like even a guy like Drew Brees is still playable this week because of that and some of their weapons on their offense. So that makes me like Trevor Siemian as well, just because I think it could be potentially a shootout. And I think and the Saints defense isn't very good, so I think he'll just have a better opportunity to put up some good points.
I think Siemian is a phenomenal value play this week. Great way to budget more money into other positions if you're a daily fantasy player, as I am, and maybe some of our listeners are as well. I like Brady going up against the Seattle defense, you know, kind of similar where it's like, you know, I mean, with Breeze, not with Siemian, you know, it's like, you're going up against a really good defense, but you're at home and you've been rolling, and I have no reason to believe that this week's going to be any different regardless of the opponent. Do you think Brady's going to be able to keep his, what some are calling MVP level of production going against this tough Seattle defense?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, Tom Brady's definitely proven to be the matchup-proof quarterback, especially this season. He's just been on fire. And I don't see that changing against any defense right now. At least in the regular season, obviously in the playoffs and stuff, things change. But yeah, I don't see anything changing. Tom Brady still should be one of the top 3, 4, 5 fantasy quarterbacks this week and every week.
I completely agree. Another quarterback who I would say those exact same things about, but for some reason always seems to go under the radar, is Philip Rivers. And to me, he's got an extremely – he's been doing it all year despite injuries and everything else. And to me, he's another one of those quarterbacks that has a really good matchup actually this week at home against the Miami Dolphins, who, again, traveling from coast to coast – always seems to affect teams just a little bit. Do you like Rivers pretty strong this week too, or am I maybe a little overexcited on him this week?
No, I totally agree, and that Dolphins pass defense isn't very good anyways. So, again, and I really think if the Chargers were a better team, and it's not really all their fault because they've been in so many close games this season, if their record's a little better, I definitely think we'd be talking about Philip Rivers in the MVP candidate and MVP conversation. Just because of how well he's been playing through all the injuries that they've sustained.
He'd be getting that same Matthew Stafford type of love right now. I completely agree, 100%. The last couple quarterback names I have that I like this week, at least from a matchup standpoint for the most part, is Joe Flacco at home against the Cleveland Browns. Eli Manning at home against the Cincinnati Bengals, who have been struggling and not what we've grown accustomed to seeing them look like the last several years. And Andy Dalton having to keep up and kind of match, you know, him and AJ Green having to match Eli and OBJ. I think there's going to be plenty of passing from both quarterbacks in that game to their big stud wide receivers, as neither of them really have much of a running game to hang their hats on. What do you think about those three matchups, Flacco, Eli, and Dalton?
Yeah, well, Flacco definitely is a good option. I think the more and more Steve Smith comes back healthy, the better for that team. I think that only helps guys like Mike Wallace against this defense just because he's their home run hitter. I think most of the offensive weapons for the Ravens this week, but I like Flacco a lot this week. You know, that's a really good take you had. And then Andy Dalton against Eli Manning in a head-to-head matchup in New York, I like it. I'm not AJ Green to me is matchup proof, just like Odell Beckham Jr. is. But I do think there might be a little bit more favor toward the Giants pass defense, just because I think Janoris Jenkins is a pretty decent matchup against AJ Green. But I think that both those guys are really going to help their quarterbacks out this week and give and provide that, you know, middle tier fantasy QB rankings this week and stats.
That's a phenomenal take on that game, and to hopefully add just a little bit to it, I think the fantasy output in that game, especially from the big names, at least on the Bengals side of the ball, is going to mostly be determined by people who aren't on anybody's fantasy football team, whether the Cincinnati Bengals offensive line can protect the pass rush of the New York Giants defense.
Yeah.
Whoever wins out there, I think that's going to determine a lot of what Andy Dalton and AJ Green's numbers end up to be for that game.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think in this game too, the only thing that doesn't scare me as much as it on paper as it should is the Giants pass rush defense. Our pass rush hasn't been as good compared to the money they paid. And just everything on paper that should be there, it just isn't.
Completely agree. And that's why I did put Dalton at the end of my – I think it's going to work out in his favor, because I do think, based off of what we've seen, that Cincinnati Bengals offensive line will be able to take care for the most part of that Giants pass rush. But they do have the names that supposedly have the talent, and you just never know, you know. So something to just keep an eye on.